This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com. This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw After Show. And if we got a show for you, I want you to forget about all the big reunions like Oasis. Get out of here, Gallagher Brothers. I'm talking about the reunion of Triple J back together on a beautiful Monday. Good to be here. I'm Jack Farmer, Jimmy Corderas, but the prodigal son, Justin LaBarre, has returned to us. Justin, good to see you again.
Good to be back. Missed you both. This is where I belong on Monday nights.
It's always good to see you again, Justin. I mean, you wouldn't believe the train wreck of programming we had while you were gone. Jimmy was just acting, as the kids say, out of pocket all the time.
You think Justin's surprised?
I've seen Jimmy act out of pocket before.
we got Cornell here with us, Killer of Demons. Good to see you guys. Jimmy, how are you doing? I saw you have some reading material.
Yeah, well, this is some old programming. I found this again in the archives, in the Corderas archives, the old TV guide, which is what people used to do to find out what was on television. They used to have to buy one of these and get their information on what programming coming up on what channels. And this was a special one that had Stone Cold Steve Austin on the cover. It was one of four editions. I don't have any of the other ones. At least I don't know where I found them, but it's from the December 5th to 11th edition from 1998, which is kind of cool. And guess who made it on the inside of the, I don't know if you can see that there.
Is it?
Oh, hey. Who's that guy with hair?
Well, it ain't Steve Austin. but I'm trying to figure out who he's pinning there. It looks like, man, that's some big tree trunk legs.
Hold it back up again.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough to tell, but I don't know if you can see that.
Move.
Bring it up.
Up and over.
Oh, there it is. Almost like it's Brock.
No, it's too early for Brock. 98.
That's what I would think, but whose tree trunk legs are those?
Could it be Big Show?
No, he wasn't there yet. Nothing. He comes in 99. You know what, Jimmy? The way those boots are, the Rock's boots used to be like that around his calves.
That's true.
The Rock's boots had that around his calf. That might be him pinning the Rock.
Yeah, pre-tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Maybe like. I mean, they did have an IC title feud.
That's true.
Yeah, it looks like in the chat, Robert Blackmore is saying it's The Rock. So maybe it's The Rock. That's what we'll
maybe
go
it
with.
Is. Cool. I'll take
why,
it.
Why not go with it? I already see in the chat, by the way, everyone giving my Seahawks a hard time for what has not been a good episode of Monday Night Football. Actually, I'm actually pretty proud of them. They're putting up points. They're doing better than I expected, to be honest. So I'm not too bummed out. But still more game time. Anything could happen, right, guys?
I'm just happy for my Titans off the Schneid. That's all.
But Jimmy, speaking of happy, you've got some Saturday work coming in soon here at Wrestling Inc. You've got some weekend work. Sounds like Bad Blood is going to be hosted by you and George Hermosa this weekend. Have you guys ever done a show together by yourself?
I don't recall when doing it by ourselves. I don't think they wanted to let us loose alone before, but I think they're giving it a shot.
Yeah. Justin, I don't know if I trust those two to host a show on their own. Are we okay here at Wrestling Inc.? Should we call a babysitter?
I know it's like mom and dad leaving for the first time and letting those two, stay away from the stove. Don't answer the phone. I mean, well, nobody has wall phones anymore. You know, so
don't touch the liquor cabinet.
Yeah, there right. we go.
Yes. So we got a lot of stuff going on. I want to talk about some news from TNA that was a little unfortunate, pretty unfortunate, I should say. TNA Wrestling was forced to cancel its scheduled television tapings in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Tapings were originally slated for September 27th and 28th, respectively, and were supposed to be moved to September 30th and October 1st once the storm had passed. However, the decision to scrap the tapings altogether was made. Justin, canceled events never fun for anybody, but especially going into their biggest event of the year. Tough news for TNA.
Yeah, real tough news for TNA. I mean, not only their biggest event of the year, the event that they historically is their WrestleMania, but just the momentum they've had in terms of the roster they have and the crowds are getting and just, you know, and just in general upswing all of this calendar year since reverting back to the TNA name. So this just really, it's a real bummer. I mean, obviously with, you know, the weather, you know, thoughts with everybody who's affected, it's obviously far more important than a wrestling show being happening or not happening. But keeping this in the wrestling perspective, yeah, very, very, it's never the timing. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, that's never good timing, but this is really bad timing.
Yeah, that's why I say it's bad news. I was hesitant to say it's terrible news because from what I understand, no one with TNA was hurt. But Jimmy, I'm curious. You've been through some crazy times in WWE and Vince McMahon notoriously someone who says the show must go on. What do you think Vince would do in this situation? I'm going to hit you with the hot question first.
It depends on how many of the talent could actually make it there for the TV tapings, because with TNA, it's a little bit different. Well, they used to do it way back in the WWF days where they'd tape several weeks worth of television. But back then it was basically pretty much squash matches with enhancement talent. TNA and their television and everybody's television is a little bit different now. They present really competitive matches and good matches on television. This is going to be a tough one for them. Yes, my understanding is they're going to do a recap show, best of kind of thing for this week, and then back on track hopefully next week. But yeah, it is a tough blow, especially when you're gaining so much momentum, like Justin said, and trying to get that momentum back when people sometimes might not just tune out, but you know what I mean. You don't want a little hiccup in there, that's for sure.
Yeah, hopefully they are able to get things back on track after this week. And hopefully fans, you know, I would say it's great when stuff like this happens to a company, when the fans rally behind them. And I'd love to see them get really good ratings coming out of all this. So hopefully the show does very well and continues. But speaking of going into your biggest show, WWE has new elite packages for WrestleMania 41, Raw, and SmackDown. But it's going to cost you a pretty penny. According to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, there will be a special elite combination package for the select few that want to sit on the camera side of SmackDown both nights of WrestleMania and Raw. The cost for that seat in the middle of the row will be $50,000. Justin, I'm loving the Dr. Evil here, because that is, Justin, I mean, it's a hot ticket. That's madness. Is that going to be the most expensive wrestling ticket ever sold?
I would have to assume so. I mean, at least sold on the first hand, you know, I mean, sold directly from the, you know, from the B. I don't, you know, who knows what secondary markets and craziness might be out there in the world, but yeah, you know, this obviously it's WrestleMania. It's two nights. You know, they're placing you in dead center. So, and in this day and age where people want to get FaceTime, they want to have their handle, their social media plug, they want their sign to be seen, and we all want to be seen. you know, that there's a huge angle to that. Obviously, the I know the package has a lot of other, you know, really great perks and from of what you get for your treatment and your, you know, your meetings of people. And so, I mean, don't get me wrong, 50,000 is 50,000, but points being is that as WWE continues to be on the upswing of their greatest business ever, and of course now them being owned by TKO, or them being owned, you know, TKO being the parent company here, and obviously coming from a world of MMA in Vegas and luxury, and where that kind of thing is not that uncommon in terms of, you know, again, paying a whole lot of money for what some would say is like almost like a fan vanity thing, just to meet everybody you can meet, to be in the most, again, high profile fan seat possible. I'm not surprised they're carrying this over to WWE right now. You strike while the iron is hot. And right now, again, their business and WrestleManias are doing bigger than ever. They're two nights. Every WrestleMania here for the next few years is going to continue to break some kind of record. That's just the path they're on. That's, you know, and they'll find out. I mean, obviously, if they put this out there and they have a hard time moving it, well, then they'll know and say, okay, well, maybe 50,000 is not the number. Maybe it's 30. You know, I don't know, but I'm not surprised to see them do this. And and look, reality is we've all been at these back when Manias were just one night, and back when it was in maybe somewhat of a creative lull of a time, you know, pre-pandemic, you know, I've seen 70,000, 80,000 people travel from all over the world for some people around the world, this is like they mark their 2 weeks off for holiday for what have you, and this is what they do. So I do believe there are some people out there with $50,000 to spend, rightly, wrongly, or credit debt otherwise, that they'll bite on this.
Well, I think it was the movie Wall Street that said something along the lines of never sell a $400 plane ticket when there's someone willing to pay $500. And so, you know, I think about that. Yeah, if someone's willing to pay $50,000, why not charge $50,000? In the chat, we've got some great comments. Tutgraph says, would you rather go to college or SmackDown? and then Baby I says, anyone want to purchase a working kidney? Jimmy, I mean, this amount is just unheard of. And the crazy thing is, I think they're going to sell it. In fact, Jimmy, I'm just going to put this out there. For an additional $10,000, you can meet Jack Farmer while you're there. I'm going to throw it out there, Jimmy. Do you think that'll work?
Okay. I'm going to ask my wife now if it's okay. We splurge for the extra 10 grand, but you know what? This pricing is incredible. In my wildest dreams, I never thought it would ever get to this, this plateau. I mean, you know, you obviously think for a rate of inflation from the time I was working there and what the tickets were and what they are now, it almost makes me wish I could step in a time machine and go back and go back to work. Cause I can only imagine how that translates into the pay for the referees now too.
Jeez, $50,000. That's crazy to me.
Jack, can you put that comment back up?
Which
That one. So for those listening to the audio only, G Roy J saying at worst a casino will buy it. And that's a very fair comment, and maybe not a casino, but that is a fair comment also to remember is, again, when you get your brand like WWE is, when you get your brand to be so big and so mainstream, you're right. If you do have something like this, whether it's a casino who then will translate that into some kind of raffle or something to all their high rollers who, you know, are maybe spending 50,000, you know, in a matter of a few, you know, weeks or months or days even at the casino, or whether it's a business that is a, you know, multi-billion dollar international business and they want to have something out there again for an internal raffle for employees, or some kind of rewards program or incentives for a big project. Like, that's a really fair comment. 50,000 is chump change to multi-million or multi-billion dollar companies. And so if purchasing that and if they can then turn that around and give it to like their sponsor, their clients within their world. Yes. I mean, that's a great point. I think, you know, it kind of basically makes me go back and say, all right, yeah, there's no chance of the 50,000 not being sold to them scaling down in the future to a 40 or 30. If anything, they'll see how fast the 50 goes and next year it's going to be 60.
Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic point. Cause I could also see raffles or whatever at a casino going into WrestleMania weekend or whatever. Tons of ways you can make that money back if you're a casino. But we have, speaking of moving, not just seats are moving, but shows are moving to Netflix. And CM Punk talked about it, and he told on 103.5 Kiss FM. He said everyone needs to calm down a bit on the Netflix merger change over. Says, I just kind of want to temper people's expectations because I think there's a section of the fan base that's like, oh, they're going to Netflix, there's going to be full frontal and swearing. And it's like, that's absolutely not the case. I think we've learned from the Attitude Era that, like, you know, you can only do that for so long before it's trying to outdo yourself every week. And then it just becomes bad television, said Punk. I just watched the Mr. McMahon documentary, and there's a lot of stuff in it, but one of the episodes talked a lot about the Attitude Era. And it's funny when you condense that entire era into a 50-minute episode, you really see that take shape very quickly, how if you're trying to be racy just because you can, it can spiral out of control very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I really agree here with what Punk is saying, and it kind of is where my expectation is. I'm not somebody who's thinking that we're going to get, you know, the things that he was suggesting. I do think, again, first off, they're not going to veer too far off, again, a path that is making them a lot of money and is very successful right now. They don't have to drop F-bombs or have, you know, insane amount of blood every week, every show. They're obviously doing well, and they're appealing to a wide range of audience. Just look at the crowd shots. You know, tonight at Raw, but on any WWE show, you will see all ages, all demos represented. I think that what the Netflix will allow, aside from the flexible formatting it could do for TV just in general with, you know, commercials or ads and overruns and what have you, I think what it'll allow them, though, is for Triple H and his creative team, if the context is right, they can go past the line at the right time. Occasionally, meaning if it got so personal, let's just say if they were on Netflix now, Drew and Punk, which we'll talk about here, if it's gotten down a road just so personal, so there might be something that could be thrown on the creative table that wouldn't otherwise have been acceptable on USA Network, that it's okay on Netflix. Or the soap opera has just gotten so juicy and has gotten everybody captivated, selling tickets in every town between Liv, Dom, and Rhea and the love triangle, that maybe there could be that one scene that just goes a little beyond the line, again, of what would be unacceptable on USA Network at 10:45 Eastern time, but Netflix is okay with. And I'm not suggesting nudity, but it could be just suggestive situations or scenes, violence, romance, whatever the case, if the context and the story and the build is adequate for it.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of that. We go back to Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins, where they had that back and forth on that, where they, you know, it was like the interview thing where they were both on the screen at the same time. And it looked like it was off air, or they had cut the feed, but they kept talking. And one of them dropped an F-bomb, but they beeped it. I could imagine in that rare occasion, they say, you know what, we're going to like have him say it and have us all go, oh, my goodness, I can't believe he just said that. But Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this, having obviously been there and been on our show. Do you think we could see something a little more racy? And can you respond to Danny Cochran, who says, in a show of support, Wrestling Inc. goes full frontal?
I don't know if we're going to go full frontal there, buddy. you may have to full wait rear. A long time for that. Yeah, or rear. None of it.
Hey, for $50,000, we got the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Package.
There you
go. And you can call the shot for an episode.
Yeah, it's a triple package, too. There you go.
It's a Groupon.
Oh my, yeah, there you go. Oh, my goodness. What were you asking me again,
Jack? I'll eat
this. Threw me right off.
any expectations on the Netflix move as far as what we can expect on Raw?
No, I pretty much agree with Justin. I think it's going to go down that route where they're going to be very selective for when and where. They're going to use maybe risque language and maybe, like you said, some risque scenes. I don't think they need to go full bore. Let's go Attitude Era. Let's shock them all, you know, kind of thing, and trying to temper the old man down and say, look, that's enough. No, we're going to do it because it's going to be shocking. You know, that was a different era now. I think they're a little smarter now. I think they know how to play their cards right and use these little intricacies. Look at back when The Rock took out Cody at the bus and bloodied him up. How shocking was that to people? People hadn't seen it in so long. It felt like something out of the ordinary. It was different. people went, oh, we haven't seen anything like this in WWE in a long time. Keep it to a minimum. Use it, like Justin said, when it fits the circumstance and when it fits the angle and when it makes sense. And there's a good reason for it, because reasons matter. If you're doing it just to be gratuitous and just say, hey, we're on Netflix so we can drop F-bombs, then it turns into a Tom Brady roast and who cares?
You can't do it for the sickos.
Yes.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com. This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Well, I do want to say, Tyler Manning, we do see your super chat. We're going to wait until we get to the Seth Rollins portion of the show to discuss that, but we will bring it up. In the meantime, JR with the super chat says, welcome back, Triple J. Hope you're all doing well. Good to be back, JR Smith. Appreciate that. And as we get into the show, we do have a lot of folks here. John Johnson here in the chat, by the way, Wrestling Inc. Fellow hosts Laura Rock and Stephen Camp and Jose Tepede and stalking you and Lulu Armel. Haven't seen you before. Tyler Manning has mentioned Jay Willie, JT098 and Adonde and Bernard and Gabriel and Jeffrey and Droy and lots of folks, a lot of Casey. And we have such a big group coming through in the chat now. I worry about our lurkers. Is the lurker army shrinking down? You know, if you're a lurker, we're still happy to see you, happy to hear you. Duca says, I'm lurking again tonight. So it sounds like we still have some good lurkers here. But make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and let us know what you think of the show. Let's talk about this episode of Monday Night Raw. Salute to the last 3-hour Monday Night Raw. Third hour, you did your time. It's time for you to go off into retirement. We're going to miss you. But here's your gold watch.
We're starting an hour earlier next week?
Do we know? I actually don't know if we start early or if we end early.
They didn't specify whether they're still starting at 8 o'clock or they're going to go to 9.
I just got back. I've been gone. I've been so disconnected from wrestling for the last few days and from here. I didn't know if I missed a memo or something.
No, that's a good point. I actually don't know. I just assumed it was going to end early, but you're right. It might start.
I'm pretty sure it's 8 to 10. So that's why I'm just asking. Like, I would assume that we would start this podcast an hour early.
Oh, the podcast. Oh, yeah, okay. I think we're going on right after the show. I'm not going to sit around.
Well, that's good.
Twiddling my thumbs.
That's good.
And if the people at Wrestling Inc. Tower have anything to say about it, they'll probably let me know and I'll listen to them because I'm a good worker.
Good lurker. What was that?
Good lurker. Good worker. Let's talk about this main event, Last Monster Standing, Braun Strowman versus Bronson Reed. Strowman starts off by putting Reed through an announce table, and that's just the start of this thing. As they go through everything, they go through everybody. Adam Pearce almost gets in trouble in this one. The ring collapses, but it's Seth Rollins' return, costing Bronson Reed, that gives Strowman the win. Justin, I'm going to give you the go ahead on this one. Take it away.
Well, I mean, you guys know I'm a big fan of these two. I'm a big fan of the, you know, the over the top. we're just going to do a human demolition derby of physical stunts of size and strength. Obviously, this has a lot of build behind these two, so I thought that it was very fitting that it got this, you know, main event. This is the last, you know, battle type of feel with it being the last monster standing. I thought, you know, again, both look strong. You know, I've immediately here just since it ended, half hour ago. I've seen already a lot of complaints across social just as I scroll here of, you know, they've done the ring break spot before and this and that. But I think what's important to remember, which yes, that's true. But what's important to remember is first off, it's not been done that many times, actually, relatively speaking. If you actually look in the company's history, it's not. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you can count it on one hand that it's been done on television. So that's number one. Number two, you wanted to come across good on TV. Obviously, the visual is great, and then the reaction of the crowd. And even if a majority of the people in that audience, even if half the people in that audience have seen it on one of the instances that's been done before, chances are they probably didn't see it live. And so you're going to get a reaction because it is jarring to see in person when you've watched 3 hours of a wrestling show and then this spot from the top rope causes the ring post to go up and everything to go down, the other ring to go down. So it gets a reaction. I would simply say, you know, yes, the announce table gets broken almost every week. The barricade in front of the timekeeper gets broken at least once a month. They do those spots, yes, and the only reason, again, that I would say, you know, maybe some people were poo-pooing the ring break is because you know that you can maybe predict it because of the size of the two individuals. You know, when you have a big show or a Mark Henry or a Lesnar or whatever, like when you have two, you're like, oh, this might be, you know, you don't go into a match going, oh, I know this is going to be a commentary desk break, because you don't know, because that could be with anybody. So it's just, I think people have to look through a fair lens. Yeah, it's just because you might have been able to call it because, okay, we have two big men, we need a big finish, that doesn't mean that it's a bad spot. Yeah, if it happens every year, different conversation, but that's not the case. So I thought it was a nice ending, and then of course to reintroduce Seth Rollins and immediately keep Bronson Reed with a relative an important relevant programming, even though he lost, that's a win too.
If anyone complaining about this ring breaking is just a fuddy duddy, just a wet blanket at the party.
Fuddy duddy. I think it was longer ago that I heard fuddy duddy than the ring broke.
There you go.
Who cares? I don't care. I see two big guys in that ring and I see one of them coming down. I love seeing the ring break. I don't care how many times I've seen it. Get over it if you didn't like it. That was fun. This was super fun. I enjoyed this whole thing. Something that I was thinking about, for some reason, Jimmy, I thought about you with this, is how clever they were with Bronson Reed attacking the security guards, then going after Adam Pearce, which brings all the security guards to him, which is the perfect setup for now Braun Strowman to go off the top without it being obvious that they're setting up for Braun Strowman to go up the top. For some reason, I thought that you would have been happy with the way they did that. Tell me a bit about this match, and what did you think of just the anarchy?
Yeah, I like a good. It wasn't really hardcore. It felt like a Falls Count Anywhere last monster standing match, and that was fine. And I understand why they fought around the building, around the ringside area more than they did inside the ring, because with the ring set to do what it was supposed to do, you don't want to take a chance on it going early. So I don't want to give away the sauce on how they did that, because I was there when they did it with Brock and Big Show, and it's very intricate. So I know a lot of people out there were going, noticing little things. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, on the ring post, those LED wraps around the ring post weren't there, for example, and stuff like that, and the board around the front and the side, and that sort of thing. And people are going, oh, why aren't they there? Yeah. You know, I get it. Okay, you're cool. You figured it out. You know,
well, but even to that, Jimmy, even to those people, you know, WWE, maybe, I don't know if this was partially a coincidence. I mean, like, you could even say they try to throw you a curveball of, oh, they don't have the LED boards and the bigger ring post LEDs because they're going to have a cell and a cage come down. And mind you, the cell obviously doesn't butt up against the ring,
right,
like a traditional cage, but like, you know, you can make an argument of, okay, did Punk and Drew need to do that promo in the cell, or, you know.
Yeah, that's fair. But as far as the match in that spot go, I liked it because it happened after the two tsunamis, did it not? So you didn't expect Braun Strowman to go up there and do that dive afterwards. So that made it even more of a surprise.
I feel like even if I'm expecting it, and even if there are signs showing it's going to happen, that just makes me want to see it more, because now I'm just like, it's going to happen. Is this going to be when it happens? All these big moments, I'm like, is this when it's going to happen? And it makes me more excited about it. Who cares?
Okay.
It's a spectacle. Okay. It's great.
If I'm going to nitpick about one company that does it, I'm going to nitpick about this one too. When they took out the barricade in the front row, mm-hmm. I understand the idea of the referee being concerned at first, but when the entire security crew and everybody rushed out, okay, it's taken care of. Now it's time for you to get back to the match. I think that was a little bit too much, especially on a night when there are several referee distractions. I thought that it was a little much. The referee didn't need to be there the whole time when Bronson Reed came out and got him and said, hey, come over here and count. He should have been over there and counting.
Jimmy, here you are being fair with the way you judge two different shows. You think you see everything, you know?
I know. I gave up that shill check tonight. What can I tell you?
Now you're going to get the now the check's going to be from Jacksonville and not from Orlando or not from New York. But okay.
Wow. Okay.
But Justin, this is a super chat from Tyler Manning, who's been very patient. So thank you, Tyler. Asks, with Seth back, do you see Punk or Drew taking time off? And we'll talk about those two later, but do you foresee one of them maybe taking a sabbatical?
I don't see Punk taking off. I mean, I mean, let me put it this way. Actually, let me rephrase that. And we'll get to it. Depending on what the finish is of the Hell in a Cell match Saturday, maybe it leads to Punk selling the brutality and he goes away for a few weeks. And in these few weeks, we obviously know that if Punk takes a few weeks off, you know, Seth has something here with Bronson Reed that could go for a few weeks. But I think it's inevitable before this calendar year ends that they're going to go back to what was the original plan at the start of this calendar year, which was for Seth and Punk. Of course, Punk got hurt. So, like, I mean, you know, either Drew or Punk could take some time off to sell the injuries. But I think Punk especially, they're going to want to get back into he and Seth, I would think. And I could very easily also see of them, you know, the fact that Survivor Series is the 1 year anniversary of Punk's return, them lining something up, you know, for that big show.
Yeah, I agree across the board here. We move on, and actually, no, two quick things. Stephen Camp, Jimmy, I think he figured it out, says it was Hornswoggle, wasn't it, Jimmy, who set up the ring to collapse?
Hornswoggle? No.
From underneath the ring, it was Hornswoggle.
He's under there again?
Let's see.
Like, oh my goodness.
Like roaches. You just can't get rid of these.
Can't get rid of them. The best part about Hornswoggle was trying to sneak him under the ring during live events. We did it usually, sorry to cut into this, but no, but we used to do it during the intermissions. Coming back from intermissions, we'd drape him with this little black tarp. And as the lights were out and some music would play, you know, we'd surround him and walk down to the ring and have him in the middle and everybody's tripping him and stepping on the black tarp. And then when we get him, we try to get him to go under the ring right in the middle where the metal with a metal support bar. Anyways, it was just a freak comment show.
Jimmy, have you seen that video? I think this would have been after you, just a little bit after your time there. Have you seen the video? I think it was in like a live event, like a WWE live event in like Mexico, I feel like. Hornswoggle was under the ring for his spot, like he's under there like he should be. And I forget who, I don't know, but somebody pulled a rib on him and stuck a live chicken under the ring, and he's petrified of the live chicken.
I didn't know there was a video. I haven't seen the video.
I've seen the video. I didn't know. Oh, I figured you might have if I've seen it.
Show it to Haku. I can only imagine how much you'll be laughing.
You know, say what you will. If I was under a ring in this confined space and there was like a wild chicken balking around, pecking things, I'd be scared of it.
Like, he's scared of this thing, but he can't. He can't go out of the from. He's right. He can't. He can't. You know,
he's trapped. He
can't kill his gimmick and just roll out. So there is. Oh. I don't. I have to. There's a video. Put
it
that
way. Oh, video. I gotta find it. I gotta find it.
Well, moving on. We got Gunther and Sami Zayn. Sami says he feels disrespected. Gunther comes out and says Sammy's annoying. Sammy reminds Gunther that he beat him at Mania, so what gives? Gunther says the loss bothered him because his family was there to see it that night. Then Sammy says that now his dad sees that Gunther's also a chicken. They get into a big fight. And Zane now has his championship match next week. Jimmy, this is a match we knew was eventually coming, but kind of surprising it's not at Bad Blood. It's going to be on Raw. What do you make of this?
I don't mind having it on Raw every once in a while. You have to have a title match on Raw. I know they have their championship, the IC championship, which is basically their workhorse championship, just like the US championship is the workhorse championship on SmackDown. I don't mind having a world title match on Raw, especially if it's your first 2-hour Raw. So you're trying to attract an audience, which makes sense. And I like the way he goaded him into it. Old school. It worked. He got the heel all riled up and the heel got all frustrated. And after he called him a coward, he jumped him right away. Gunther jumped him instead of getting in his face or, you know, whatever it was. He just went to town on him. And after he gave him that match, as Gunther walked away, they panned on Sammy's on a close-up, and he was smiling, even though he was beaten down, because he knew he accomplished his mission and got the title match that he wanted. So, but as far as having it on Monday night, I don't have an absolute problem with it.
Justin, obviously, I love your thoughts on this one, since I haven't really gotten to hear your thoughts on this build-up in some time. But also thoughts on Ilya Dragunov. This is where we heard that he was injured ACL 6 to 9 months. Devastating.
Yeah, that is devastating. Obviously, when anybody goes down, and he was somebody who once, drafted a Raw. I know there was a lot of excitement from fans who had seen his work on NXT UK and different places. I know that, there's a weird sense of irony that it was in a house show against Gunther, because I know that, they've fought before. And that is a match. I know that I've seen some fans think that could be like a big money match on a PLE if positioned properly and everything. So yeah, unfortunate, but, hopefully he's back better and stronger than ever once that's all taken care of. Yeah. I agree with everything Jimmy said. I like the way that it was set up in terms of Sammy goading him in. I'm fine with it not being on the PLE. I'm a huge proponent of the leave them wanting more. We don't need to overstack these PLEs. We don't need to overbook them. And let's be real. Obviously, we've seen Gunther versus Sammy several different times. Some for the IC title, but we've seen it before. So it's not that alone then. And then also, yeah, Sammy's got the people behind him, but we've seen it before. I don't know how many fans they're going to get lost in the moment hoping, but I don't know how many fans really, if you put, gun to their head, are actually believing that Sammy's going to all of a sudden beat Gunther for the title now. But it's still an attraction. It's a title match. You can advertise that for free TV for a 2-hour Raw. So it fits there. It really doesn't. I think it would be a waste of a spot just on all those elements if you put it on a PLE. It would occupy then just 20 or 25 more minutes. Then that's now 20 or 25 minutes that the show's longer, or that you'd have to bump something else. And quite frankly, everything they have on Bad Blood, I think, fits on Bad Blood. So it makes sense. Braun versus Bronson tonight, that could have happened on a PLE and would have certainly been of a level of worthiness to pay for to see. But it didn't need to be. It felt great being in a spot to main event Raw. And of course, because of the spot of how it ended, it was able to end Raw with the ring gimmick. And so, I love that. Save some stuff for your weekly TV shows. Not every, they did that. They've done it great with the Wyatt Six when the Wyatt Six were being on camera every week. They didn't push them all to PLEs. They kind of saved them as like the attractions for some Raws and built some main events around some Raws with that. So I like that strategy. I think it keeps everything kind of interesting. Every show, every PLE interesting.
Yeah, I do enjoy them having big matches on the weekly shows instead of just kind of predictable, no fun matches for every show on the weekly shows. But we have a big surprise guest here in the chat, NYC Demon Diva rolling through, saying hello, J-Boys. NYC Demon Diva, good to see you again. If you guys are missing NYC Demon Diva, by the way, follow her on social media and her YouTube page and wherever she streams all across all streams. Check her out. She does great watch-alongs.
Spicy streams.
The spicy streams. But, Ian Smith, by the way, also I want to give a shout-out to, look, everyone in Savannah, we are just happy to have power after about a week with no power. Off subject, I know. By my husband, JR, is all into this while I sit by and play on my phone. So glad you have your power back. Yes. Glad you are okay over there as well. Jey Uso, he's feeling okay. He's feeling oozy. He's emotional. He cuts a very personal promo. Bron Breakker interrupts, but says that he's just there to give Jey some support. Obviously, we see Bron Breakker a little bit later in the night, but Justin, this felt like the perfect kind of promo for this kind of champion.
Great promo by Jey. I mean, he's just so over. It's awesome. I mean, I'm sure he's making money and merch is moving. Clearly, again, you look in the crowd, merch is moving. You know, he's over. Yeet is over. Again, going back to the topic we just had a moment ago about the Gunther Sammy, you know, I can totally see them positioning to where, like, you know, Jey and the IC title could definitely main event some Raws regularly. You know, you could say, look, we don't need to wait for a PLE. We can have a good slew of challengers for Jey. They certainly had the depth for it and make it a big deal. Not every week necessarily, but, you know, enough. So we have that, and then can we go right into the Bron Breakker stuff here? So Bron comes out, and of course you're thinking, okay, I know what Bron's going to do, and then Bron even says it. I'm not going to spear you. I'm not going to attack you. So then you're like, okay, now he's definitely spearing him and attack him, but he doesn't. Shakes the hand, shows respect, and it was kind of an old school thing. I really can't recall a lot of instances recently. Maybe somebody will have a better memory, but it felt like a very old school thing to do, to have to take a guy who you still have more miles with as a heel if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
But you realize what you have in him. You realize the physical talents, the charisma he has. He's been that heel who he's been on the heel side of the fence, but the people are barking and they're kind of in awe of his explosiveness. So, you know, you kind of have an it factor with him, and it's like, all right, well, you know, if you're on a brand that's got, you know, your world champion's a heel and you're looking for babyface challengers, how do we quickly kind of turn? How do we just tell everybody it's okay to cheer Bron? Just what a simple old school thing for him to come out there and say, I'm not going to attack you. I'm going to shake your hand. And you know, it doesn't make him look soft. It doesn't make him, it's not like a 180 complete character change where it's like, oh, where this is not the same guy that was, you know, the badass a week ago. He's still a badass, but he just admits. And he admits it to a very over babyface. So the crowd completely buys it. It's like, all right, yeah, Jey Uso's awesome. And he's admitting that Jey Uso's awesome and gave him a nice respectful handshake. All right, I'm kind of warm. And now it feels okay to be barking like a dog at Bron Breakker. And so I thought that was a great, timely, just very simple, let everybody know he's turning babyface. He's still a badass, but he's got a little bit of respect and morals. He's willing to admit, you know, that he was not the best man on this particular night against Jey Uso.
And I love that. First off, I agree that I think that he's someone, yes, he could have been a bad guy for a bit longer, but I'm a big believer when people like someone, let us like them. And clearly we all like Bron Breakker. Everyone, even when he's doing bad things, you're hearing the barks in the crowd and stuff. So just let us like him. Quit trying to swim against the stream here. Just let him be someone we can enjoy. And really cool move and great little addition by Jey Uso, how he says at the end, hey, there's some dogs here tonight so they can bark. Right. And it's almost like he was giving permission. Like, yes, he's a good guy now. You can cheer him. Jimmy, something that a lot of people are talking about, and Adam So Tokyo in the chat has mentioned a couple times, so I want to give Adam a shout out here. That Intercontinental Championship got a little blue on it now. I think it looks dashing. I think it looks great with that blue on there. Thoughts on the segment? Thoughts on Bron Breakker challenging, potentially challenging Gunther and Jey Uso, the whole thing, and the blue on the championship?
Well, let's get to the blue on the championship. I like when they personalize them, but don't like completely overhaul them. That's what I like. They make it their own. And it was a nice little touch. It actually fits perfectly with Jey Uso. As far as the segment, I enjoyed it very much. Like Justin said, it was different. You know, it was Bron Breakker giving Jey Uso his props, but also not looking like he was less confident than he was before. He still had that air of confidence about him. And it looked like he had that smile. It was not a smirk. There was a smile on his face, but it wasn't really a smirk towards Jey Uso. It just, like I said, it just felt like an air of confidence. And even when he was leaving the ring and Jey, like you said, Jack, you know, mentioned that the dogs are out, you know, mm-hmm. it was kind of a nod of acknowledgement and he went to the back. And then is it too early to talk about what happened later?
With Breaker and Gunther?
Yeah, no.
Go ahead.
No, I like the fact that he just subtly came up again with confidence, and basically said, "You'll be seeing me soon," mm-hmm. and you heard the audience, and that's your tall tale sign, is your audience, and they were fully behind him.
It was. I was going to say the same thing. You could tell, like, that's all you need to know is the audience reaction, and there's that weird, like, visceral feeling I think we all have where you're like, oh, you almost feel it. Oh, this is going to be good. I want to see these two guys throw hands.
And you want someone to challenge Gunther. Okay, I know we got Sammy. It's going to be a great match. And, you know, hopefully you can suspend that disbelief for a little bit because, like Justin said, you're probably thinking going into it, I can't see Sammy defeating him for the world championship right now because I can't see Gunther losing the championship. But if he were to face someone next like a Braun Breaker, now there's that air of doubt where you say, you know, I can see Braun defeating Gunther for that championship. He looks like he's being anointed as the next one. So there is that possibility. So at least you have a babyface challenging him, if that's the route they're going, that people will believe have a shot at beating him.
Right.
Going into it.
I think it's great. I love how this is going. Alex Costantino, hopefully I'm saying that right, has a super chat, says, Jimmy, any good shoot fights you've seen?
No, none of the shoot fights are ever good. No, it's not a good thing. No. And I don't know if you're talking about in the back, in the locker room, in the bar. I don't know.
One of the best ones you've told on here before, which was the one here in Pittsburgh of the APA and the Public Enemy. That was.
Oh, my goodness. That was a mugging. That was shoot fight means both parties are getting pretty much shots in. Yeah, that was a one-sided.
Yeah. Public Enemy didn't know they were going to a shoot there. Yeah.
Well, they should have known it was when they're walking out. When they're walking out of Gorilla, going, "We ain't doing the finish," and then just go straight out with your music playing.
Yeah,
you have to have a better, you know. What's the word I'm looking for? Help me out, guys.
Attitude? Attitude?
Not attitude. Mindset going in thinking, okay, I'm going to say this to Ron Simmons and John Layfield before I go out there. Not a smart move.
No. We got some pretty an interesting booking idea here being pitched by Danny Cochran, though. Gunther versus Breaker versus Akira Tozawa for the title at WrestleMania. I think that's one all three of us could get along with. Do you guys feel the power of Tozawa?
Is Gunther going to be the 24/7 hardcore champion? Are they going to bring it back?
It's for the world title, Jimmy.
Oh.
We got a bunch of stuff going down with the New Day. Xavier Woods beats Rey Mysterio when Rey's mask comes off, but hey, Xavier Woods takes advantage and still gets the win. Kofi, on the other hand, ends up losing the match when Woods tries to help him, but ends up costing him. This is after Kofi gives his title shot to Xavier Woods to help keep things nice in the New Day with all the issues they've had. During an interview, by the way, with Sports Talk Philly, Big E was asked about the friction between his two friends, to which he explained the arguments will happen when you've been teaming with someone for so long, saying, quote, "We've had a long run. 10 years is a very long time. We've been guys where you've never really seen any tension from us, but Kofi and Woods right now are going through a bit of turmoil. I think that happens in any marriage, whether it's a long-lasting one or not. But that's how people approach being a team together. It feels very much like a marriage in the way you communicate. And sometimes you're not always on the same page." Justin, more issues for the New Day. Feels like Woods trying to do the right things, but it sure doesn't look like he's doing the right things.
I love this. I love the build. I love the attention to detail. Later, you could actually see Woods and Kofi arguing backstage in the background of, I think in the background of Braun Breaker approaching Gunther. Yeah, you got Kofi still out there in his colorful outfits. You know, Woods is wearing black, you know, the old mm-hmm. old West color of the bad guy. And yeah, I mean, you kind of think that Woods is the one who's going to turn. Is that how it happens? Is that what happens? You know, Joe Tessitore, you know, Big E mentioned in this interview, Joe Tessitore mentioned it, I believe, on commentary. You know, they're approaching their 10-year anniversary, which I believe is right about Survivor Series, is what it was 10 years ago. So it kind of makes me think maybe they're really going to lean into that. And Big E, you know, speaking in character the way he just did in this interview, that kind of maybe makes me believe, you know, I don't know what his wrestling status is, his physical status, unfortunately, but there's no saying. Obviously, he does the pre-show panels. I mean, there's nothing stopping them from using Big E still. It's just like he's referencing marriage here, almost as like a counselor to try to get in the middle of this and, you know, add that element. So I'm here for it. I'm just here to follow along. I don't know how it's going to go down. I do think there's probably going to be some swerves and some surprises, and I'm here for it. This is a story that – how can you not be invested? Mm-hmm. New Day's the longest reigning tag team in the modern era to be together for this long. They've been heels and faces several times. They've always remained on TV, at least two-thirds of them at some – in every status. They've never, like, just disappeared for a year and come epic. They've always been around, and, again, they're over – no matter what they are. So I think there's a lot, everybody has investment. Everybody has equity in what happens to Woods, what happens to Kingston, what's left for Big E in his career. So I like it.
You'd have to go back pretty far, I'd imagine, to find a tag team that was constantly a tag team in WWE for over 10 years straight.
It's actually a fun challenge. I'm trying to do that right now.
I mean, just going in my head, yeah, I don't know. You have to go back a long ways. Again, not all within WWE, not right, jumping around right to different places. And because we change companies, that kind of gives you a new life too, you know.
Right.
I can't think of one. A long way. I think you're getting into like really early days, like you gotta be like 80s or something, right?
But even then, even to go back to the 80s to on your. Based upon what you just said, you're going to find tag teams that were probably in a territory that then Vince bought and brought right over. So if you're talking about just confined in WWF, WWE, I mean, I think about like from like early 98 to the early 2000s, the New Age Outlaws, before they had injuries or personal things. I mean, but even that's only maybe 5 years or less at most.
Right.
Probably.
Right.
Every other tag team, Demolition,
Road Warriors,
Nasty Boys, all mm-hmm.
you know, like, Steiners, they all kind of jumped around.
Yeah, they weren't there for they went to another different company, what have you. I mean, it might be if in fact that the New Day is really the longest reigning that again remain on WWE that had minimal lapse of not being on TV. I mean, and that's incredible.
Alex saying the Usos had a long run, but not as long as.
They'd probably would be the next longest behind. Yeah.
Right. I mean, probably.
Now, Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this. I got to say this, when this whole New Day split thing started, I was like, this is dumb. What are they even doing here? But now I'm hooked. I am into this. They've told a great story here. I want your thoughts on this. Also something I've been waiting to ask you for some reason, Chad Gable, clearly channeling Kurt Angle with that new gear, man. I mean, that's a copyright infringement almost.
It doesn't matter. It'll work. It works for Chad Gable. I'll tell you what. And with the Creed brothers, that is a perfect match. Those three together. Well, four. Is it four altogether?
Yeah. If you count Ivy Nile.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the group. I like the way they are. I like the way they're presented appearance wise. And as far as the match goes, I was fine with it. I like the way Xavier Woods in the match with Ray, like you said, he pulled off the mask, but he still took advantage of the situation because Ray was more concerned about covering his face than he was about kicking out.
Right.
You know, and anybody, I guess, who knows the Lucha tradition is once your mask is removed, you cover up as best you can, regardless of what's going on around you. So it made sense in that regard. And also, made you wonder, okay, he looked like he was apologetic afterwards, but how apologetic was he? Because he did, you know, emerge victorious and, you know, Kofi called him out for it. And he, that's the thing about it. You don't know who's going to turn really.
Right.
When they were arguing in the back, Yeah, and when they were arguing in the back, there was somebody sitting back in the background, watching them, just sitting, enjoying, taking it all in. Did you guys notice that?
No, who was it?
I was trying to see because it was far in the background. I thought it was Karrion Kross.
I mean, that makes sense. He's the one that started it.
Yeah, but it was way in the background. It's it kind of leaning on a road case. Almost looked like he was just taking it in and enjoying the, not the argument going on, but the back and forth between it, and seeing that that seed that he planted is starting to grow. That's what it felt like anyways.
Everyone in the chat says it was Karrion Kross.
Okay. That's what I thought it was. It was hard to see though. And, you know.
You know, Justin, speaking of American Made, I'm a big fan of these guys. Before moving on, I was talking to Flobo Boyce on one of these shows, and he was saying he didn't really get it. He wasn't really all on board. And I told him, I said, Flobo, I can give you three reasons why American Made is great. And he said, what are they? And I said, red, white, and blue. Then he said, that doesn't cut it. And I said, I got two more for you. Stars and stripes. That's what makes them great.
I thought you could say you had three reasons. You know, you're gonna go with the Kurt Angle, the three eyes.
Yeah,
intelligence, intensity,
intensity, and integrity. Yeah. I always get it the wrong order. I've always said integrity second for some reason. But speaking of Karrion Kross, though, the Awesome Truth are gonna team up to take on AOP. Is that how he said it? Miz wanted to talk to Strowman before getting interrupted by R-Truth, who was unhappy about the way.
Can I just interrupt for a second? Did you hear R-Truth when Strowman left and he said, "See you, Andre"?
Yes.
I don't know. Truth cracks me up.
So this was basically the Miz finally turns on R-Truth and leaves him to get pummeled. Jimmy, I'll go to you for this one. I mean, this is such a, I mean, turning on R-Truth, is there any worse thing you can do in pro wrestling as far as being a jerk besides turning on Rey Mysterio, of course?
No, turning on R-Truth, you heard the crowd. We talked about it earlier. The crowd is your best barometer, and they absolutely hate Miz now. He went from being so beloved because he was so buddy-buddy with R-Truth, and the Awesome Truth is back together, and in one shot, guess what? He's back to being heel Miz, which is right in his wheelhouse. I love heel Miz. I think he's fantastic at it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun what we're going to see in the future. And I'm looking forward to it. I really am, because this is where Miz really excels. Yes, he can play all the roles you want. He can be funny. He can be a great babyface. He can be a great nasty heel. He can be he's an all player. He can do it all. But his actual work, I think he excels best, is being that, you know, SOB heel.
And the thing I love about it too, Justin, is that what they've been really good about lately in WWE is this turn, Miz kind of has a point. He kind of has a rate. For as much as we love R-Truth, kind of been a thorn in the side of Miz for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, like Jimmy said, the people love R-Truth. I think this is great because, quite frankly, I mean, The Miz has done great work in the last year plus, whatever it's been. He plays he can do the face role, and he's a great ambassador. He's, you know, he's your ultimate utility player. But heel Miz is your best Miz. And so when you put him back in that situation, that's where he thrives. He plays a very awesome, pun intended, character to dislike. It's just that simple.
Speaking of dislike, two guys that dislike each other, CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, have a stare down inside the Hell in a Cell. Both men kind of put a button on their go home show here. Justin, I'll go back to you for this one. Not a lot of new revelations, but I thought this was a great one last sales pitch.
Yeah, you know, when I realized that we were going to get this tonight, I said to myself, what else could they do or say? I mean, this is just, and not in a bad way, but this has just been going on for so long, and there's been so many promos and so many screw jobs on both sides. And so I like the touch of having the cell come down just to kind of, you know, remind everybody this is what a Hell in a Cell looks like. This is what these guys are going to be in. I like the touch of having security, you know, separating them. Of course, don't have them touch each other physically. Excuse me. Yeah, I thought it was great sound bites. Punk saying, you know, I've been living in a hotel.
Yes.
For weeks because I don't want to subject my wife to the man I become. You've made me become the boogeyman that all my worst detractors. So leaning into, you know, the very polarizing opinions, the negative ones about him and his controversies, far and beyond. When I thought, what else could they say that I haven't heard them say? They managed to do it. And let me give Drew his credit. We're in the black, you know, this is because we're going to be mourning you, but the Tux is going to be a celebration. Like it was really well done. I would just say this, but this is a great thing in terms of a selling point. I know we'll get to the match here momentarily when we get to our predictions. This thing has gotten so personal. And now you're in Hell in a Cell, and Hell in a Cell has an expectation to all of us. I'm really like, are they really going to go? Are they really about to do this? Like, this thing has gotten so personal, and every match has escalated physically from the SummerSlam match, and you had the Rollins dynamic, and then we got to the strap match, and like, I mean, they're gonna have to swing for, they're gonna have to do this. There's no half-assing a Hell in a Cell, especially when it's a blow-off like what this appears that it's gonna be. I don't know if it's gonna be the last match of the night. It should be, different conversation, but this thing. Like they're going to have to fully go for it. And I think that I think they've set the table that they're going to do that. And I just hope that both men, seriously, I hope that both can come out of this and whatever creative plans are next can still happen on time. Meaning I hope if Punk's expected for Survivor Series to do something with Seth or whatever, that can still happen. And that this match doesn't result in, all right, we've lost one or both guys for the next 4 months or something like that.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping.
This is why I couldn't be a pro wrestler, is if you were telling me, like, Jack, you're doing such a great job. One of you is going to have to go through the roof of the cage or something. I'd be like, that's not what you say to someone who's doing a good job. I shouldn't have to get hurt. But that's wrestlers are built different, Jimmy. Any thoughts on this one? And also, I wanted to talk to you about the Hell in a Cell had a bunch of holes in the cage as far as, like, very little, you know, like, is it literally this just the same cage every time? Do they never go in and fix that thing?
They do repair when it needs repairing, but that's nothing new. Those have been there before. So when they climb, exactly, when they climb the cage, you know, it's, you can get your fingers in between the fencing. That's not a problem, but getting your feet, trying to, you know, get a good grip with your feet with those things. So every little bit, there's a hole there where they can actually put their foot in and get a good, you know, base if they want to work off the cage and, you know, and do that sort of stuff. So it's nothing new. It's been there before. Yeah. So
it's like a rock climbing wall. After Foley and Taker legit had to climb it without any built-in holes.
Oh,
I don't know. They realized, let's try to help the guys out and give them some points.
Especially Taker with a fractured ankle and Foley the second time he climbed up when he was on autopilot, and I didn't even know if he knew he was climbing the cage.
Jeez. Plus, those guys got big shoes. I'm sure it's tough to get your feet in there, too.
Hey, Pittsburgh once again. JL, Pittsburgh once again.
Well, we got a couple things here that happened at the to kind of wrap up the show before we get into our predictions. LWO takes a loss to Judgment Day when Finn Balor arrives after, quote, travel issues to help the team win. They have a throwdown with Damian Priest and Rhea afterwards, as well as Zoe Stark and Lyra Valkyria have a match with Pure Fusion Collective helping Zoe Stark get the win there as the women's tag team division gets in a huff and a puff about things afterwards. Jimmy, any thoughts on these two segments?
Not a whole lot. In the women's match, again, another ref distraction. I thought there were too many of them tonight. Again, I'm going back to the referee thing, but if I'm gonna call out the one team, I'm gonna call out the other team. I thought there were too many of them, and they're very similar.
Yeah,
that's the other thing too. For me, again, maybe not everybody else, but for me, it took away from it, the finish and the LWO Judgment Day. Guess what? Ref distraction again. Same thing. So, you know, I'm okay with it. The aftermath was what it was more about, I think, you know, leading into the pay-per-view on Saturday. So leaving Damian Priest laying was very an interesting choice, which makes me wonder. We'll get to the predictions, but yeah.
Yeah. Justin, these two kind of good story beats, but I kind of lumped them together because it feels like kind of repeat of what we've seen a bit for the past few weeks for both of them. I think the new wrinkle is that now Dom is afraid of being in small spaces. So I want your thoughts on this. And also, Dom Mysterio, sick car. That car is done for, isn't it? Like, it's going to have a bad ending, isn't it?
You'd think so. You'd think so. Yeah, with the women, I mean, Jimmy already pointed out all the ref stuff, so I'm not going to go back on that. He's most equipped to do that. The one thing I'll say, I'm a huge Rhea fan. I'm a huge Dom fan. I'm a fan of everybody that's in that love triangle that we've got here. And I love the story. I don't like how much physicality Rhea got on Dom tonight. Mm-hmm. To me, that's what I'm paying for the PLE. That's what I'm tuning in for, is to see her eventually get old Dom out of that cage and to beat his ass. I didn't like how much she got on him tonight. Maybe that was intentional, because they got a curveball they're going to throw us at Bad Blood. So maybe I don't know. Well, you know, I'll someone to tune in and find out. But that was the only thing I was kind of scratching my head, like why? I mean, that's the whole point of the gimmick, is of him in the shark cage, is keeps him out of the match so she can handle her business properly with Liv, and then she knows now where to find him after the match. She's gonna get him. I didn't understand. I mean, granted, she could do more to him, and again, it's called Bad Blood. Maybe she really puts a whooping on him and she makes him bleed. So maybe what we see physicality wise between her and him is so grand that it stands out. Maybe. But even so, if that's the case, why even let her get the physicality she got on him tonight? Like, let her grab him and then he quickly squirms away or live, what, you know, something. That was just the only thing that I didn't really understand, was I thought that she just had too many shots on Dom tonight.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, actually, especially as she was getting him in the cage too. I was like, this is kind of giving away everything I'm paying to see at Bad Blood, but I guess we'll see how it all works out. That's the show. Now it's time for predictions. And this is something that a lot of people get excited about when we do our Wrestling Inc. predictions. People far and wide tune in to see us spoil the show, because our predictions are so accurate here. So everyone in the chat, as always, join along and let us know who you think is going to win each match. You guys ready? This is going to be a tough one. Mm-hmm. Starting, Justin, you always get the start because you're on that side of the screen. So see.
It's my Hollywood rectangle.
Damian Priest versus Finn Balor. Who's getting the dub?
I mean, I'm going to think Priest here. And he got just attacked in the numbers game tonight. I kind of feel like we're winding down with Judgment Day versus now our Terror Twins. I mean, you know, it feels like we're going to get some finality with over there with Rhea and Dom. And I think you kind of could get it here. So I'm going to say Priest.
Priest. Yeah, I feel like Priest has taken too many beatdowns from the Judgment Day to take a loss here this time around. So I'm with Justin. I think Priest is going to get the win here. Jimmy, are you going to make this a boring prediction, or are you going to have some guts and pick Finn?
I'm going to make it a boring prediction, but for a different reason. For a different reason, because something we didn't mention on the show tonight, there was more grainy video with some messages scrolling across the screen. Somebody's being targeted, it appears, by the Wyatt Six. And I have a feeling that, like you said, Justin, it's time for this rivalry to end with the Terror Twins and Judgment Day. And maybe Judgment Day is the next target for the Wyatt Six.
Oh, so maybe Judgment Day will get involved and help Damian Priest get the dub here. Danny Carkin with an interesting question. Jack, don't you ever get tired of being 100% correct in all aspects, not only wrestling? You know, it does get a little predictable, but it's the burden I bear. which means I get to go first. Women's World Championship match, Dirty Dominic Mysterio in a shark cage above the ring. Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley. I am going to say the winner of this one is going to be Rhea Ripley, but it will be by disqualification. So she will not become the champion, but she will get the dub.
Interesting. Jimmy, I kind of feel it's time for Liv to retain the title against Rhea in some nefarious means. I think there's going to be some shenanigans, but Liv will retain. I'm just surprised it's not Dom on a pole match or something like that.
Yeah, Justin, I guess as we get into this last one, is the now there's no she doesn't get Dom for like 5 minutes or anything. If she wins, it's they, just he's in the shark cage.
Yeah, they haven't stipulated that. That is like an old school thing. They haven't stipulated that. They've kind of basically just said like this is just to keep Dom out of the way. So again, you know, I don't know. Like you would think that she beats Liv and that she then gets him, but again, maybe because they haven't said that, they've got some they have some creatively blurred lines. You know, to Jimmy's earlier suggestion. If the existing members of Judgment Day could be the next thing for the Wyatt Six, obviously the Wyatt Six has the Nikki Cross in there, so she would need a female counterpart or opposite, so there could be Liv there. Again, I'm going to think, again, I think Rhea wins this. I think she wins it. Again, to your point, that stipulation is not there that she gets 5 minutes, and again, they gave so much physicality tonight between Dom and Liv, Dom and Rhea. So maybe there is something that happens. You know, maybe Rhea wins, you know, especially if this match happens, especially if the Priest Baylor match happens earlier in the night. If this is the last one that involves these two factions in the night, I could see Rhea winning. She regains that title so she can move on and continue on carrying the women's division. Maybe she goes to try to then get her some Dirty Dom revenge. Judgment Day numbers come out and still stand strong on the numbers game. And then a Wyatt Six, you know, distraction, appearance, whatever the case may be. I think you know, Jimmy says that, and the more you read the messaging and the cryptics, like the way that Judgment Day has been so nefarious in terms of like their lack of loyalty to you know, the brotherhood and everything. And, mm-hmm. you know, that would make sense. It would be the same kind of storyline as why they didn't like Chad Gable, with how Chad Gable discarded Otis and his mm-hmm. Alpha Academy. So it'd be a kind of a repeat, but the Wyatt Six, they obviously want to be cheered right now, and they're going to be cheered. And so you need to find heels that everybody hates, and Finn and company fits into that. So
that also makes sense as we get closer to Survivor Series, if that could be potentially be a War Games matchup, mm-hmm. Judgment Day versus Wyatt Six. Jimmy, you getting this one, Women's Championship, Nia Jax versus Bayley.
This is going to be an interesting one. Nia Jax, I think, retains, and then we have an interesting cash-in by Tiffy. I think it might be Tiffy time. So does that mean Tiffy wins? Well, Nia wins the match, but
Nia wins the match and then gets cashed on.
Yes.
Nia Jax. Justin Labar, do you agree?
I don't know if it'll be a cash in, but I agree Nia's going out of this match, Nia's going to beat Bayley. What happens after, I'm not sure. But
yeah, I think Nia Jax is going to win. They've built too much story around what's going on with Tiffany and Nia Jax for them to just kind of go, never mind, she's not the champion anymore. Maybe the toughest call of the night goes to Justin next, though. Based on the order I was given, anyways, Hell in a Cell, CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre.
Well, this has to be the last match. I mean, you know, I would lead. I mean, they're 1-1, right? And they're straight up. I mean, so I would think tradition tells you that you go to Punk, that Punk gets the win. It's probably going to be bloody and violent. I'm going to go with Punk, but I it's hard. It is hard to call this because you can make a case again for Drew to win it. And you know, just have been such a brutal thing that again, maybe Punk takes some weeks, all, you know, at most 3-4 weeks. Yeah. Cause they still have crown. I think they have a crown jewel still in Saudi after this. And then we're on the Survivor Series path. So, you know, if Punk's not working the Saudi show, maybe he's off for a month and then you're setting him up for a Survivor Series match. But I'm going to go babyface in this situation. I'm going to say babyface Punk. At the end of the day, Drew's been such a bully. He's been so just cruel. I just think the story is going to dictate that Punk's going to get his revenge, albeit it's going to cost him, you know, a lot of blood.
I agree. I think CM Punk gets the win. I think the way the story is written, it has to be CM Punk. Cause how do you go through what CM Punk's gone through and then just walk away from this after a match? So where Drew, I think, could still theoretically walk away after a loss. Plus, further prediction, CM Punk is the guy who's going to beat Gunther down the road. I think that's what they're building up for, is CM Punk versus Gunther. That's my long-term call. But Jimmy, who wins the bracelet war, CM Punk or Drew McIntyre?
I hate to make it another clean sweep, but I agree. It has to be Punk in this one. I think he's going to take a little time off. He did make that comment during his promo where he said he'd been away from AJ for 4 weeks. He'd been away from home, staying in a hotel. And he'll get beat up pretty bad, like you said, pretty bloody. But he's going to take that time to recover and be home with his family, with AJ and Larry.
That gets us to what I'm told is the main event, and I guess I got to pick this one. Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns versus the Bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu. This one, if it is the end, obviously some kind of shenanigans is going down at the end of this one, which makes it really tough to predict. I'm going to go with the Bloodline getting the win over this super team, because it's shenanigans in some way, because that would lead Cody Rhodes to having a singles title match against one of these guys, where if he wins, I feel like that's kind of the end of it. So I'm going Bloodline here some way, somehow, Jimmy.
I like that pick. I'm going to go with Bloodline too. And it's the way it's going to be set up, I don't know. But obviously we have the other members of the Bloodline who are going to be involved in a ladder match the night before. But I still think that they're going to be involved in some form or fashion. We still have Randy Orton and Kevin Owens as part of this story. What part they're going to play, that's going to be the interesting part. Because everybody's predicting, you know, somebody, one of them is going to turn. But I don't know if it's going to happen yet. I think it's going to be interesting. You talk about Survivor Series and possibly a War Games match. Imagine the new Bloodline 2.0 versus Cody, Roman, Randy, and KO. And if someone's going to turn, maybe it happens there. But it went, not this Saturday. But again, Bloodline.
Yep. Two Bloodlines, Justin. Does the Bloodline end with you?
Or
does
it go? No, it's a sweet Bloodline. The thing is, when you look at this, there every possible variable of what could happen leads to a Cody-Roman loss. Cody-Roman can't coexist at some point because their problems with each other just boil over. That's a loss. There's another Samoan that has been signed. Another numbers game and unknown assassin for Bloodline. So again, Roman and Cody lose. If Cody and Roman win here, I don't know what is there for the Bloodline 2.0 to move. You know, like what's there left? So, but. And that's where this, we'll have this conversation real quick. I know we're going to wrap here. So I know you mentioned that, Jack, and I've heard the same thing, that supposedly this is supposed to be maybe the last match. Mm-hmm. And that's peculiar to me because we all agree, for our reasons we've given, that the heels are probably going to win in the Bloodline. Mm-hmm. WWE doesn't often end. I mean, they did when Roman was a heel and he was on his crazy run, but like, if this is the last match and the heels just stand tall and what have you, that's not always the way they end the PLEs. And then also, set that aside, if you have a Hell in a Cell match on this show that is so damn personal and that we're all, I think, expecting to be very violent and bloody and all the things between Punk and Drew, and you're asking a card to, you know, you're asking a match or many matches to follow that, like, I can never remember a show except for the Back to Pittsburgh, except for the King of the Ring 98. I can never remember a show for WWE, a pay-per-view or whatever, that had a Hell in a Cell match that didn't go on last. Maybe there was, back in the time when the Hell in a Cell was a gimmick pay-per-view, maybe there was a show where there was two Hell in a Cell matches and one was a start and one was a finish. But again, one finished it. I can never recall them saying, we're going to give a Hell in a Cell match. That's the last Hell in a Cell match of the night. And then we're going to have other matches try to follow that. They did it at 98 after Foley and Taker, which was insane. But even then, that kind of all parlayed into the main event between Austin and Kane, which is Bad Blood and or First Blood, and Taker and Foley came back out, and that, like, so it all kind of pieced together. Mm-hmm. I just can't imagine Punk and Drew happening, and then there being more to have to follow that. It doesn't seem appropriate to me. If anything, have this Cody Roman versus Bloodline thing kick off the show. I have a hard time finding an explanation that Punk and Drew is not the last match. It should be. It's Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell is the epitome to me of a bad blood.
What if the plan is for The Rock to return and cost Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes? That would have to end.
Okay. Okay. That's your trump card. If The Rock is to appear in Atlanta, and that puts the wheels in motion, whether for Survivor Series or puts the wheels in motion for what's to come for the next Mania build starting in January. Okay. The Rock can trump a Hell in a Cell match. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
So yes. Here I am thinking another Samoan show up. I'm thinking again, maybe another signee. But if The Rock is to resurface and we're starting to get pieces of this Bloodline 2.0, they look to The Rock as their tribal chief. Okay. I bow down to that.
Yeah, that would be the only thing I could see, because I feel like the visual of the show going off the air with, for instance, a bloody CM Punk on top of the Hell in a Cell holding his hand up, because I feel like if Punk wins, I just get the feeling he's going to crawl to the top of that thing and stand with his arms raised, he seems like one of those guys. But how do you beat that? Like, with his music playing, Cult of Personality playing, like, I don't know how you beat that. I'm with you, Justin. I don't know how you beat that unless it's The Rock. If it's, with all due respect to everyone else in that family, it's got to be The Rock. Otherwise, it's not going to hit the same.
Yeah, because again, real quick, even going back to Jimmy alluded to earlier, I'm just going to kind of just play, smart fan here. The Kevin Owens and Randy are still there. You're right. Raw is in St. Louis next Monday. Randy's home, and then the day after that is the second NXT on the CW, where we know Randy's advertised he's gonna have a match, and he's in a babyface situation for that already. So Randy's not gonna pop up and turn on Cody this Saturday. KO could, but that seems like not the time you need it to happen. Again, back to Jimmy's point, if you put him in a War Games and all of a sudden Kevin defects in that situation, oh my god, what a traitor. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, who's a big name that could really be a splash in this, again, no disrespect to the rest of the Anoa'i, Fatu, the entire family tree.
Right.
The Rock's the only one that really could trump this ending here.
Yeah.
So, and really quick on top of that, and with all due respect to Cody and Roman, who are arguably the biggest stars in WWE right now, the most over stars in WWE, you go back to that Hell in a Cell in Pittsburgh, that King of the Ring. What does everybody remember from that? Nobody remembers who won the King of the Ring that year. No. Nobody remembers what the main event was. What do they remember? That Hell in a Cell match.
Who did win that year?
Exactly.
I'm so bad at that kind of stuff. Like, I know all the King of the Ring.
I could tell you all the ones before it, but that wasn't Ken Shamrock. No, he was in the finals, actually, I think. Hang on.
Yeah, Ken Shamrock. He couldn't have been that one, did he? I thought he won like 2000. I thought he won like 99 or two. Like
Ken, it was Shamrock defeated The Rock. He beat The Rock.
Oh,
and that was the last match before you got Taker and Foley. So yeah, just to Jimmy's point, just completely wiped out Shamrock's win there.
Right. What would have been if Shamrock won before, and we all remembered it a little bit better, but. It'll be a fun show. It'll be fun. It'll be very telling to see. It's actually interesting to see what opens the show, because clearly one of these matches are probably going to open the show. And so it'll be fascinating to see which one it does and what that signals for the rest of the show. But that does it for us. Justin, it was great having you back. Triple J back in action. Where can the world find you online and all the stuff you're working on?
Yeah, at Justin LaBar across the socials. And aside from being here on Monday nights, you can catch me on Busted Open on Sirius XM channel 156. I pop up throughout the week. It's kind of all inconsistent now in terms of just, kind of surprise. What am I going to go run in? But you can always find me on Busted Open every Sunday. 7 days a week is the show now. So every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, myself and Jonathan Hood. So obviously, Bad Blood this Saturday. You can watch Jimmy and George immediately after here on Wrestling Inc. And then the next morning, after you've had some time to sleep and digest and get your coffee and breakfast, turn on Sirius XM channel 156 or go on the app or get the condensed version of the podcast. And Jay Hood and I will give you all that we got.
Justin, I want you to do a review of how Jimmy and George do and just pick apart everything they do and like just really tighten the screws on those two. No.
I would never do that.
Jimmy, how about yourself? Where can the world find you and all the stuff you're working on?
Well, you find me here on Monday nights, now back with Triple J, and Wednesday nights after Dynamite. And this Saturday, after Bad Blood, George and I will get picked apart on Sunday. But you can find me here on Wrestling Inc. You can find me at the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. Last week, Lance Storm was our guest. This week, Ricky Gibson, who made a surprise appearance on SmackDown. That should be fun. Yeah, that should be a fun one. And also, you can catch the Huge Pop Radio here in Canada on TSN Radio and iHeart Radio with my good buddy Donnie DeSilva, Sunday nights from 11 p.m. till midnight. And you can catch it online, too, at hugepopradio.com. We have a lot of fun. This week, we interviewed Eric Young. We had a lot of fun. Yeah, Eric is awesome.
Great hockey fan is Eric Young.
Yes, and he's got a new show out called Vinyl Obsession. He talks all about that too. And of course, my Riff and Rants are back from Monday to Friday, just tightening screws that I think need tightening.
Ricky Gibson, by the way, a good pal. He, him and I have shared many a road trips to and fro the airport to shows. So, very fun guy. Very entertaining fella.
I'm going to have to bring that up. Hold on here. Let me make a note of that.
No, he's a good dude. Him and his tag team partner, Precious Eddie Pearl, the Midnight Heat. You guys should check him out if you like indie wrestling. Then
cool.
You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Check out all the stuff I'm working on right now. It's Wrestling Inc. on Mondays, Wrestling Inc. on Wednesdays, and everywhere else it seems like that there's Wrestling Inc. going on. But follow me at Wrestling Inc. Follow Wrestling Inc. itself for all the latest wrestling news. That does it for us. It's time to hit the end stream button.
Go Commanders.